If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Janine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Janine Pirro.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is a professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, an author, a fellow Fox News contributor. You all know him, and if you don't know him, you've been under a rock, too. His name is Dr. Mark Siegel. Our favorite topic of COVID and the fact that, you know, now there's everything we're finding out that we were told about COVID is proven wrong. The lab theory leak, the mass, the natural immunity. And I couldn't think of anyone better to discuss this with than Dr. Mark Siegel. So, Dr. Siegel, how are you today?
I'm doing better than the government officials that didn't tell us the real story all these months, right?
Well, I got to tell you, it is amazing. And when we think about Dr. Siegel, the fact that you weren't even allowed, you were canceled, you were trashed, you were a conspiracy theorist. And the truth is that it was all, they were all wrong. And it wasn't like they were wrong for a minute. They went on and on about there not being a lab leak, that, you know, it just jumped from a bat to a human without an intermediary host. And that's just not it. And Fauci is still saying, well, we may never know for sure. What's your take on this?
I have a lot of take on this, and I'm writing a lot about this right now. I'm doing actually a book on it. But
good.
But here's what I have to say about this. First of all, science is evolving. Secondly, you used to go to your doctor to get an answer. And we doctors, physicians, got marginalized in all of this. So it became public decree. And public decree wasn't just a recommendation that I could ignore, like I've ignored a lot of public decrees. Some recommendations I follow, some I don't. We were kind of sidelined. We didn't have the vaccines in our office. We didn't have the information. Nobody understood they were supposed to go to us. Now, in terms of the origin of COVID, I got a couple of things to say that will make you laugh. Judge, Okay. You know where the bats are? They're in southern China for the most part. You know where Wuhan is? It's nowhere near that. It's over 1,000 miles away. I mean, we think China, but when you actually look at China on a map, it's enormous, not just over a billion people, but it's enormous. So the bats are mostly in southern China. You know what the researchers do at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? They go down to that bat caves and they grab bats. Why would they want to do that? Because these bats are loaded with virus. You know what they're doing in those labs? They're playing with the viruses, not with the bats, but with the viruses. And so,
to what end, Dr. Siegel? To what end are they, quote, playing with the viruses?
Well, the ostensible strategy here, which I've never agreed with, is that we're supposed to test viruses to see exactly what it would take to get them to the point where they would go from animals to human and be a threat to us. We want to know the steps it would take. Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that in mapping out those steps, whoops, one of those viruses could slip out. And that's a very big likelihood of what happened here, playing with viruses. The other reason they play with viruses is supposedly so that they'd be ahead of the game in terms of therapeutics and vaccines. How well did that work out? I mean, what we saw with SARS and MERS way back in the day was a coronavirus that didn't cause a massive pandemic, didn't. And so fear-mongering lights the fire here of the gain-of-function research. And I'm very concerned about it. I think it's way riskier. And by the way, we don't have a way to know what's going on in these labs. I mean, you talk about craziness.
But
how does anybody...
But Dr. Mark Siegel, aren't we funding through the World Health Alliance or the Echo Health Alliance a lot of this gain of function testing?
Yeah, and some of it's going on in the United States. Some of it's going on in China. Some of it's going on in the Netherlands, which, by the way, nobody's talking about, but I'll talk about, which is that the Netherlands played around with the bird flu virus. And they figured out how to get that to go human to human. Who the heck needs that? It's already killing millions of birds. We don't need.
Are they doing this to force us to take pharmaceuticals, or is it a bio virus that they're looking to kill other people?
I think we in the United States, I really believe that it's not a direct link with pharma. I think we're doing it out of misguided scientific curiosity and preparation. But what do you think China's doing it for? You got the Chinese Communist Party there. And they're, of course, their bioengineering division very close to the military over there. Now, you know, that makes me very uncomfortable. It should make every American uncomfortable.
Well, you know, the craziest part about all this, Doctor, is that when we look back at what they did to us, they canceled people. You know, you were a conspiracy theorist. And the mask mandates, we now find out, did nothing. They did nothing. Cool. I mean, I remember being in a Dunkin' Donuts. I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Dr. Mark Segal. And So there's a woman in there, and, you know, I had my mask on, and another woman in there didn't have it on, and a customer went crazy screaming, "My daughter has asthma. You're going to kill her. Put your mask on." So the woman's looking for her mask. And so, you know, I said to the woman complaining, I said, "Yeah, calm down. She's getting her mask." And she started screaming. I mean, people were look at what they did to us. Look at what China did to us. Look at what the dishonesty did to us. Look at all this stuff about it's not a leak. It's not a leak. And it was a leak. Well, and our Department of the FBI says it's a leak. Our Department of Energy says it's a leak. And then Joe Biden comes out and says, "We may never know." Fauci says, "We may never know." What is the namby-pamby response? Is it because they're afraid of China?
By the way, you do know, I'm sure you know, I interviewed Bob Redfield, former CDC director, multiple times on this. I've written op-eds in the Wall Street Journal with him on this. And the truth is, he knew because he had the top secret clearance. So they were hiding this stuff as classified information for God knows what reason, keeping it from the American public. And of course we need to know things like this. And also physicians need to know as they go to treat a virus. You think that we wouldn't have been more aware that this virus might spread asymptomatically, might cause terrible after effects if we knew it came from a lab? I mean, that changes how you approach this. By the way, I want to say quickly something about the masks. Mm-hmm. You know, that's exactly the opposite. You talk about inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. Exactly the opposite of what Dr. Fauci and others were saying, which is we're waiting for the science, right? But there is no science on masks, Judge. They never did a double-blinded randomized controlled trial on masks. You know, and people never even wore them properly, and they're not wearing the right mask. So, of course, it was virtue signaling. Of course, it didn't have an impact. What it had an impact on was people's ability to communicate the mandates.
Mm-hmm. And the shame of that is that, you know, that the young children were damaged, you know, psychologically. Education-wise, but the sociological impact of that. Talk about that for a moment.
And the data is in on that. You know, they weren't in schools, which was ridiculous. Another counterintuitive thing. Like, why wouldn't you put a kid in a school? You're going to keep them at home so they can spread the virus in their home? You know, it made no sense because in a school you could keep the window open, you could sit people apart, you can distance people, you can educate them, and they can socialize. They put the masks on in schools, the barbaric masks, which kids never wore properly. I talked to a child psychiatrist early on in the pandemic who's very rational. I said, "You ever see a 3 or 4-year-old wear a mask properly?" He says, "No." Oh, and I see them all the time, none of them even wearing them properly. So they couldn't see each other's faces. They couldn't communicate. They couldn't learn properly because, after all, learning is about reading faces, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's about learning. You know, some of these kids, I mean, they can't even talk to their friends. They don't even recognize their friends. They don't understand. Now, they're delayed in terms of interpersonal communications. I mean, it's the trauma and the disaster that went on. But the thing that was very hurtful for me in particular, as you know, Dr. Mark Segal, I had COVID early on, and I was able to get Regeneron, but I had that immunity. And, you know, when you test for the immunity, I mean, my antibodies were through the roof. And yet I had to take that vaccine. And now they say people who took both vaccines and all the additional shots, the boosters, I mean, they're still getting COVID. What the hell did we do it for?
And actually, we knew the science should have warned us, because we knew that the kind of vaccine this is, it doesn't prevent spread at the nose level. So it's like it can decrease severity. It stops the virus from replicating, but it doesn't have a big impact, especially as the virus itself mutates in terms of preventing spread. I still can't figure out how they could force people to take a vaccine that doesn't prevent spread. That's what you call a public health decision, to do that with your doctor. You know, is this going to help me? Am I at risk? There's some chance it decreases spread, but the main thing is it decreases severity. And then they wouldn't rehire the people. Let me tell you something, Judge. Here's something I've never said before on the air. You're going to love this. I had a head of an ER here in New York City who had just had COVID and didn't want to take a vaccine. And I said, you shouldn't take a vaccine because you have natural immunity from COVID. But the hospital wanted to fire her. I had to go to bat for her and write letters, and eventually it ended positively that she kept her job. But I couldn't believe that a hospital of all places was trying to get rid of a significant employee who had just had COVID, whose doctor is saying you shouldn't have a vaccine right
but,
now.
But that doesn't surprise me, doctor. And that was part of it's propaganda. It's almost like fascism, that if you don't believe this, then you're going to be canceled. You're going to lose your job. What about all the people in the military who lost their job? What about all of the teachers and the doctors? And how about the doctors that were being brought up on charges in California? I mean, it was just dictatorial. It was like the left is glued to this concept of controlling other people. It's a totalitarian mindset.
But exactly. And you know what? It also doesn't lead people to take vaccines, because if someone's trying to beat the heck out of you, you try to get away from them, not listen.
Well, what are we going to do now? I mean, what is the next thing? And this guy Fauci, I don't even want to talk about him anymore. Why didn't we have like a Manhattan Project with a whole bunch of brilliant doctors who came together, and from different virologists, and this one's a, you know, immune, and the immune doctors? And I mean, why this one guy, this one weasel, who, you know, couldn't stop talking for 2 years, and now all of a sudden says, oh, no, we'll probably never know. Wait a minute. You were the king who said you knew everything.
He likes the microphone. I think that's what it is. He likes the microphone.
Shame on him.
And I actually agree with you that we needed a consortium of different minds saying different things, listening to each other. The way that science gets strong is when you challenge it, not when you dogmatically assert anything. You challenge some basic assumptions. That's how we move forward. Albert Einstein, with the theory of relativity, was challenging all known physics. And look what happened. I mean, that's what you do.
All right, Dr. Mark Siegel, I love you. I could talk to you forever. I want to thank you for joining us on the Judge Tunnel to Towers Foundation show this Sunday morning. Have a great day, Dr. Siegel.
Great to be on with you. Thanks, Judge.
All right. Always good to hear from Dr. Mark Siegel. And never forget, that's the commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.